Good morning. I'd like to welcome everybody. We've got a number of visitors with us today. We're awful glad to have you. If you see Caleb up crawling in the rafters, he's preparing. He's competing tonight for the American Ninja Warrior competition. And so hopefully he won't be climbing around, and although he probably could. So we wish you luck in that. All the visitors, we're very glad to have you. If there's anything we can do for you, please get with one of us. If you need a ride back to where you're staying or whatever, we'd like to help you in any way we can. Have a number of prayers and a few announcements before we get started. Robert is requesting prayers for his mom, LaTanya, for her health. We will go to God in just a moment on behalf of her. And this is the time of year. Ann is making mention that we support an orphanage in Mexico called the Casa de la Esperanza. And it's that time of year again when we send gifts to the children of that orphanage. And it's known as the Magi Project. And anyone that would like to participate, be sure and see Ann. She'll get you set up. Everything's got to fit in a little box, and it's got the name of the person that is being sent to, boy or girl, and the age, and all that. We've been doing that for a number of years, and Ann heads that up. So if you'd like to participate in that, see Ann. Also, Niger is asking prayers for her family, for spiritual maturity and growth, and that for her to be a good example for them. That's a wonderful prayer. That's something that we all, every day, should be asking God for. There are a number of names on the Barnabas board out here, the encouragement board, and if you would like to send them cards of encouragement, people like Joyce Croxon, Barbara Spencer, they haven't been able to attend recently. Edna's daughter, Marissa Norman, she's been struggling with some health issues. Also, it had been mentioned a few weeks ago, a friend of Beth and David Phillips named Tara Taylor, back in Montgomery, Alabama. She's going through a number of health issues. Her name is back there. And also Ann's mother and Shannon's grandmother, Lorraine McCloskey. She's had some health issues lately, and their name and addresses are back there if you would like to send a card of encouragement. And last but not least, this coming Thursday, October 3rd, is the Feeding Our Kids night. And there is a sign-up sheet on the bulletin board back there. And it would be good if you're planning on going to sign that sheet so we know how many is expected to attend. If you have any questions about that, you can see Sean this morning. It starts at 6 o'clock, and it's this Thursday. I think our two months is October and December. Is that right? So Thursday, I can't believe October is already here. So if you'd like to sign up with that, please do so. Let's go to God in prayer, and then we'll get into our lesson. Dear Heavenly Father, we humbly come to you. We ask that everything that we've done today and continue to do will be pleasing to you, that is done in spirit and in truth. We come to you right now on behalf of those mentioned, those that were just mentioned verbally, but also those in the bulletin. We ask that you be with them, comfort them, those with physical needs. We ask that you comfort them, be with the doctors as they treat them. We ask that you be with those that need spiritual help at this time. Encourage, strengthen, and build them up, and help us as the brothers and sisters to do what we can in that avenue. Dear God, continue to be with us, and please forgive us for the things that we do wrong. And we pray everything through your son, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Thank Glenda for the cough drop. Hopefully it'll get me through the lesson today. Our lesson today is things we say without saying a word. And we do that all the time. We can get an awful lot said without ever opening our mouth. And in fact, there's so much to be said about this. We're going to look at it today and next week. Philippians 4:9, the passage that Brother Puka read, Paul was writing to the Philippians, and he says, "The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do. And the God of peace will be with you." Not everything that Paul did with the Philippians, or really anybody that he dealt with, not everything was verbal. Like in this passage, he says, "And the things you saw in me." Paul preached an awful lot through example. Paul preached an awful lot just through the way he conducted his life. And that's the same with us. Body language is very important. Body language gets an awful lot across. When Marion just rolled her eyes at Tracy, you couldn't see it. She gave the best eye roll that I needed her as a visual up here. She did the eyes rolling around like a slot machine wheel. That says a lot, though. You're talking to somebody, they don't say a word, and they're rolling their eyes. That speaks volumes. Crossing your arms, you get in that defensive posture. I'm not hearing a word you're saying. The difference between rolling eyes and being attentive when you're talking to somebody makes all the difference in the world.
Amen.
A sigh. I'm over it. Saying loud and clear, I'm over it. Gritting your teeth or smiling at somebody. Just a smile says an awful lot. Or so you're talking to somebody and you're gritting your teeth, basically, and clenching your fists, and you've had enough. But what a difference between a smile and a pat on the back and gritting your teeth and clenching your fist. Or you're talking to somebody and they're no more in the conversation than a man in the moon. Or somebody that's really focusing and paying attention. While you're talking, basically biding their time until you shut up. Body language says an awful lot and doesn't say a word. Another issue is our actions, and that's something Paul was addressing. Paul was addressing that in Philippians, the things you saw in me, what we do. We're told to let our lights shine. We're also told to preach the gospel. You do that verbally. But letting our light shine, you can let your light shine and not say a single word.
Amen.
What we do, encouraging others, discouraging others, where we go says a lot. Where we're seen at, there is no shortage of numbers of places in this city to find trouble. places that we have no business in as Christians. We can justify till the cows come home. But there's some places we have no business in. Where we go without saying a word says a lot. How we react to things says a lot. Sometimes what we don't say when we should say something says a lot. And what was that for?
Oh.
Man, you're getting the business today. Let's look at a few scriptures. Paul told the Ephesians, he says, I, therefore the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. To have a walk, to have a lifestyle, not do something once in a while, but to live that way, to have a walk worthy of your calling. He tells not only the Ephesians, but he's telling the Colossians almost the same thing. Paul wrote, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Those don't take saying anything. Having a walk worthy, you can do that without saying anything. And doing good works and increasing in the knowledge of God, we can do that without saying a word. In 2 Corinthians, Paul reminds us, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. We are a representative of Christ. And that should be reflective of how we are as a Christian. When others see us being that reflection and being an ambassador. Galatians 6:9-10, Paul tells the Galatians and tells us ultimately, let us not grow weary while doing good. Do you ever get tired of doing good? I've seen people get tired. When's it gonna be my turn? When's it gonna be my turn for people to do good things for me? Paul says, let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, my take is we miss a lot of opportunities. But opportunities go right by me while I'm standing there, you know, fat, dumb, and happy, you know, and I don't seize those opportunities. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are the household of faith. And it doesn't take saying a word sometimes to do good to people. A smile, a card, a pat on the back. Show up to help them do something, etc. Romans 12:15, Paul tells us to rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. When people are rejoicing, are we letting them shine, or are we waiting to turn the story around to make it about us? Have you ever known people like that? Somebody's rejoicing in something and they see an opportunity to turn around and it's all about them instead of this other person that's rejoicing over X, Y, or Z, or the other way around. It says, weep with those who weep. Don't use it as an opportunity to outbest their story. Oh, you think that's what you're going through is bad? Well, let me tell you, you've known them. Well, we know them. There's plenty of them. Paul, sometimes just smiling and a pat on the back and a thumbs up when somebody's rejoicing, acknowledging them, and sometimes just sitting and letting somebody cry with an arm around them. Maybe there is nothing to say. I know there's been times where I have not known what to say. Sometimes just being there is important. James 2:18, James reminds us, but someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works. I will show you my faith by my works.
Amen.
Just doing Christian works sometimes doesn't require anything to come out of your mouth. But it demonstrates your faith. And the last one I'd like to look at today, we'll finish up next week. I don't know if you grabbed an outline. It's front and back. Sometimes we say a lot by not speaking up. By not addressing false doctrine. Mm-hmm. Letting false doctrine slide without speaking up. Not confronting sin. We're not doing our brothers and sisters any favors by not addressing sin. They're not doing us any favors by letting us slide. Silence also can condone, and we don't want to do that. In Acts 18, starting verse 24, it says, now a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man had been instructed in the way of the Lord. And being fervent in spirit, he spoke and taught accurately the things of the Lord, though he knew only the baptism of John. So he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. When Aquila and Priscilla heard him, they took him aside and explained to him the way of the Lord more accurately.
Amen.
They refined an already eloquent man, but there was something he didn't know about. They took him aside. They didn't put him on blast in front of everybody and invalidate the things he was saying, but they took him aside and they taught him the way of the Lord more accurately. Just think how much more eloquent and powerful he was after this. But they spoke up. And they didn't keep their mouth shut over this. In Ephesians 5, Paul says, let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. Don't be partakers of people that are saying empty words, distracting people from the gospel. Speak up. Refute the false doctrine. Peter addresses this idea. He says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. We have to be ready to speak up. And in a situation like that, not speaking up says a lot. Somebody asks us about why we're Christians. why are you so different? How do you act so different than everybody else? I don't know. Be ready to give the defense. And we'll end up with 2 John. The Apostle John wrote in 2 John verse 9 and 10, he says, whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. I want to pause there for just a moment. What we were reading about Paul, about having the walk, have a walk worthy of Christ. John says it in very clear and concise language, very direct. Whoever transgresses and does not abide, does not live this way, does not walk in this path, in the doctrine of Christ, does not have God. There's not a lot of wiggle room there. He goes on to say, he who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, do not receive him into your house, nor greet him. For he who greets him shares in his evil deeds. Somebody comes to you without the doctrine of Christ and is preaching some other doctrine contrary to Christ. By accepting it, you're condoning it. You're participating with it. We can say an awful lot without saying a single word. We will continue our outline next week. The lesson's yours, something to think about, some scriptures to maybe look at in your private study this week. If there's anything we can do for you during the invitation song that Daryl sings, if you have sin in your life and you need to repent, by all means, repent. Don't, I'll do it tomorrow. Don't be like Pharaoh and sleep with the frogs one more night. Okay? See, I was paying attention in Bible class. I was teaching it, but I did pay attention. If you haven't put your Lord on in baptism, we have the opportunity to do that, to wash away your sins, to be covered by the blood of Christ. We have that opportunity. If you need prayers of the congregation, if you've been visiting various congregations around town and would like to identify with us here at South Valley to work and worship with us, let that need be known. Whatever your need, please come forward while Daryl leads us in the invitation. Let's stand and sing.